Have you ever been asked someone to stop at the store for you? Have you ever said, can you go to the store for me? Can you stop at the store for me? Can you make a store run? Several different ways, but what we are saying is that we need something that we do not have. Can you swing by where that product is, and can you get it for me and bring it to me, because I need what that product is. And I do have a blue finger this morning, and Cheryl had to make a store run last night because I needed something that we did not have. And it's finger versus miter saw. Miter saw wins. So Cheryl had to make a run to the store and get some product so it can keep it from doing what it wants to do, and that's bleed all over the place. So what I said is, I need something. Cheryl was willing to go and get that for me. In 1975, it says that the stores had about 9,000 items in each, and the average grocery store had about 9,000 different items in the average grocery store. Today, the average grocery store has nearly 40,000 items inside of its walls. So in the past 50 years, there has been an influx of what we can get at the store. When we go to the store, the choices are much greater than what they used to be. To read, just maybe you don't care, I don't know if I care, but to read the label of every item would take about 19 days. So if you're in the store and you're going to read the label on every item that's in the store, you better schedule in 19 days to make that happen. It's going to take you a long time. There's a lot of things in the store. It also says that there's an average person makes 2.2 trips to the store per week. And so you're at 2.2 times as the average person is stopping by the store. Why? Because something is needed at that store. It says most common purchases are milk and coffee and soda and bread and eggs. And if you're in our house, bananas. I eat about 150 bananas a week. I'm starting to itch my underarms and the top of my head. So bananas is the number one purchase. When you have to stop at the store, we're going to need bananas. No question, get bananas. We're going to need bananas. And routinely, if I'm out or if Cheryl's out on our way home, we get a call. Do you need anything? Do you need me to stop for anything? There's those 2.2 trips to pick up something at the store. It also says that 20% of purchases are impulse buys, where we see something and we end up purchasing that, which, okay, I get that, but that kind of gets me excited that 80% of the time I'm on target. 80% of our energy is focused on going after a particular item or particular items. 80% of the time I know what I'm going, I've been resourced enough to know what I need, and I'm going after what I need. I'm going after what I need in my life, or I'm asking someone else to go after what I need. 80%. Okay, now 20%, when I get there, I may find out that I needed something else, or I may be enticed or tempted to buy something that was not on my list to go after. And as I think about that, 80% of the time I'm going after something, and I am successful at getting it. And I wonder about that in my faith journey. In my faith journey, am I going after a particular thing? Am I going after particular things or a particular thing? Am I focused? I'm going after it. Just so you know, when Cheryl got home from the store last night, she did not have milk and eggs and bread. She had blue stuff and stuff that's under this blue stuff. That's what she had. She knew what it was needed, and she went after what is needed. I wonder if that same is true in our spiritual journey. Are we going after what is needed? Are we going after what we realize that we need? And are we relentlessly pursuing what we need? In our faith journey, are we going after those particular things? In Matthew chapter 8, we see the centurion. He's after a particular thing. He says this, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. He knew exactly why he was there. And he was seeking Jesus' influence in a situation that he was at. He wasn't questioning why I'm here. He didn't say, Jesus didn't say, how can I help you? He knew how he could help him. He was motivated to go after a particular thing in his life. And he says this, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. I am here to coming to you for a purpose, he said. I'm here that you will impact my servant, that you're going to do something in my servant's life. I have driven this big distance. I've used one of my 2.2 times to come to you, Jesus, on behalf of my servant. And Jesus, I want you to do something. I'm pursuing a particular thing in the life of another friend of mine. And I'm going to shop here, Jesus, because I know you're the one that has the product. I know you're not limited to 9,000, 40,000, or any of the other stuff. I know that you're without limit, and I know what my servant needs is you, Jesus. He needs a touch from you. So I have driven to the store, and I've come into the presence of Jesus. And he said, I am pursuing this. I'm going after this. And it goes on in the passage. And Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve you to have you under my, to come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. Look at the confidence that he has in Jesus. I know that I'm at the right store, so to speak. And I know many times I said, Jesus is not a big Walmart. But this is pursuing him for what is needed in our life. And this man is pursuing, and he knows the authority of Jesus. He knows the power of Jesus. And he's coming into the presence of Jesus for a purpose that he has been motivated in his heart, his mind, and his soul to go after something for his friend. And then they have this interaction with Jesus, he does. I would consider that the 20% impulse. But all of a sudden he starts to get more information about Jesus. But verse 13, I think in the passage, it says this. When Jesus said to the centurion, then Jesus said to the centurion, go! That's because it has an exclamation point after it. I think Jesus once in a while gets amped up too. He said, man, I have never seen someone come to the store so confident that I had what they needed. Not just kind of driving through and wondering, hey, I'll try this Jesus thing. He's got about a half an hour to show up, or I'm going to throw my 2 cents back in again. Just so you know, your 2 cents isn't worth anything. And when you throw it in, it's worth less. Go to the store, and he's confident. And Jesus says, I am excited to see this man's faith. I am amazed to see this man's faith, to come before and ask on behalf of his friend to come and shop one of his 2.2 times this week. And he's going to do business for his friend. And Jesus said, go, it will be done just as you believe it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Can you imagine on the other end of that? See, I want to have a camera on the other end of that. That the servant is laying there paralyzed. He's laying there in great pain. And all of a sudden, bang! He's better. He's got to be wondering, what in the world just happened? How did this happen? I was in pain. I was in paralyzed. I could not move. And all of a sudden, I am healed. Why? Because his friend went to Jesus on his behalf. And I'm wondering, will we take advantage to go one of our 2.2 times this week into the very presence of God? And it says this in Ephesians. It says this, in Jesus and through faith in Jesus. And I've added Jesus there because in the scripture, if you look it up, it says in him and through faith in him. But it's in Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. You can come into the storehouse of the Almighty, into the kingdom dwelling of God, into the very presence of God, because Jesus has opened the path for you and I. And the centurion knew that Jesus was bringing the power of God into his friend's life. And he wasn't going to waste the opportunity. Jesus was in the house, and he wasn't going to waste his opportunity to come before Jesus on behalf of his friend. So many times I waste my opportunity. And Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid a great price so I could come into the very presence of God, one of my 2.2 times this week. Because my heart has been motivated by knowing what I need or what is needed. Have you ever just really known what was needed? We can say, sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what God wants me to do. And then there's times you know that there's something going on. You know what you need, but you ain't got it. Just so you know, the old rag in the garage that's now partially red isn't what I needed because it had sawdust and grease and everything else on it. It was the closest thing I could grab, and I could wrap my finger, and it's a thing I do. I come upstairs and say, Cheryl, and she knows. It's like, what is wrong with that guy down there? You know. But I come to the stairs, and I said, honey, that's what, when you're hurt really bad, you say, honey, you know, honey, we're going to laugh about this later, but I need you now. I didn't have what I needed, but I had someone who was willing to go get what I needed. The centurions, he didn't have what he needed. The servant didn't have what he needed, but he had somebody willing to go get what he needed. And he went into the very presence of Jesus. And he says, you can come into the very presence of God because I've opened up that gate for you. And you can step into there. And Paul tells us later in Ephesians this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I want you to pray for each other, he said. I want you to do business. You have the right. You have the right, new lifers. You have the right to come into the very presence of God. And God motivates our hearts at times we know what is needed. We know. And so we try to force our way or our opinion or something else. And at times we just need to be in the presence of God. Say, God, send it. Send it, God. Bring it. Pour it into their lives. I'm here on behalf of my servant. I'm here on behalf of the centurion. I'm here on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm here on my own behalf. God, I need this. Oh, I need this. And I'm not shopping in another store. Yet if you don't bring it into my life, then it's not going to be into my life because I know that you're the only one that can bring this into my life. And I will seek you and I will shop at you only, God. Store runs for yourself and others in your 2.2 intentional visits to the very presence of God this week. What are you going to go after? Did you ever enter? I thought it was very interesting when we were praying. I'm praying. I'm like, you know, just God, this amazing. People are asking for. All of a sudden, Kent comes up and pulls my eardrums out. I was like, God, wow. You know what? People come into your very presence so excited, so amped up, and they just got to proclaim it to you, God. That's so powerful in that moment. And so what do you go after? Because he knew what God had put on his heart. He knew what he needed to say. And this intentionally, I'm going after this. The centurion just wasn't wandering around, if I happen to see Jesus today, maybe I'll mention my servant. He went after it. If someone is going to make, what are you going after? Secondly, if someone is going to make a store run for you, what do you want them to have on their list? Say, can you make a store run for me? What are you going to put on their list? What are you going to put on someone's list that wants to go into the very presence of God and seek something out for you? What do you want on your list? In the Bible, someone is praying. 222 times in the Bible, someone is praying. There are many more references that talk about prayer, and there's many times when we see somebody said they prayed or they asked or they pleaded, but the words of the prayer are not included. 222 times the words of the prayer are included in the Scripture. Someone is praying, all the way from 5 words to 300 or 400 word prayer. People are praying for others and themselves. 222 times we see that in the Bible. The exact things of what they are praying. Someone is asking God to work in their life or the life of another. Someone is making a store run. That is true. It is true. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray continually. And I am not referring to this life-giving, constant, and open communication with God. I'm talking about making a store run for yourself or someone else with the intention of going after what God bringing into their life, and you know that you need in your life. Am I making sense this morning? In the relationship series, I'm calling this, and how's your prayer closet relationship? Where you're going in intentionally seeking out something for yourself or someone else. Let me just throw around 220 of those prayers into your lap this morning. No, I got just a handful, but let me bring these to you this morning. Push the button, please. Here we go. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Have you ever just gone after that? Put that on your list. Say, God, I need a clean heart. My heart is inundated with ache and pain and sin. My heart is inundated with unhealthy behavior. My heart is inundated with junk in my life. My heart is inundated with stuff that's got it all diseased up and it's not pumping just right. God, I need a clean heart. I'm going after a clean heart. I'm coming into your very presence, God, and I'm going after a clean heart. God, forgive me, restore me. God, do the work in my life because I am done living with a diseased heart. I am done living with this unhealthiness in my heart. I am done. Put that on my list, God. I'm going to write that on my list, and I'm going into the storehouse. And God, I'm going to stay in there until I know that you've given me a clean heart because I know that's available. David asked for it, and God gave it to him. He said, do it. I was just wondering when I was writing this, hey, how you doing today? Can you Psalm 51:10 me today? Because I'm not doing too well. My heart is all jacked up today. My heart is hurting and my heart is impure and I've got vindictive behaviors in my heart and I've got this junk in my heart that I need out of my heart. If you're going to the store today, can you pick me up a Psalm 51:10? Because I need it. I need a Psalm 51:10 in my life. So 51:10 is going to say, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. I need a steadfast spirit, God. I need a clean heart and I need a steadfast spirit. I'm hanging on to this unhealthiness that I want to let go of. And I want this renewed and committed spirit because I know that you said in Timothy, that for God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but he gave me a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And God, I don't have that right now. I need a steadfast spirit, God. I'm coming into the throne room. I'm coming in. Well, I'm going to use one of my 2.2 times this week. And I'm coming in for a steadfast spirit, God, because I know that you did not give me a spirit of wish-washiness. And my spirit is so wish-washy, and I'm so wish-washy, and I don't know, and I'm timid, and I'm afraid, and I know what's going on in my life, and God, I'm coming in, and I got on my list a Psalm 51:10b, and I'm coming in because I know you can do it, God, because I know you can heal me from this unsettled spirit inside of me and this unclean heart inside of me, and God, I'm pursuing you. God, I'm glad you're never closed. And I'm glad that the price has already been paid for anything I need. But I'm coming in, and I'm asking you to do it in my life. Will you write that on your list? See, I just give you a grocery list this week. That's all those things are, grocery list. What are you going to the store for? My challenge is go to the store 2.2 times this week. This store. Maybe this is one of the prayers. I pray that you might be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. I want to share my faith more. I want to be active in sharing my faith. If you're going to the store this week, can you pick me up a Philemon 1:6? Are you with me this morning? Because I know that, God, you've put something in me. And I know sometimes that fear rises up and I want to share the gospel and my tongue gets tied to my teeth and I don't know what to say and a hesitation and I miss the opportunities and fear and uncertainty have seemed to beat me up. I want to be ready, willing, and able to share the life-giving message of Jesus to whoever God puts in my path and opens the door up to do that. Church, we need to go to the store for that. So far, if you're going to the store for me, forget bananas. We got enough bandages. Can you get me a Psalm 51:10? Can you get me a Philemon 1:6? Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. He come in with a purpose. And I know there's been lots of things written on this prayer of Jabez, but he's asking to be blessed or to lift this curse from me, to enlarge my territory, free me from my own limitations. Let your hand guide me, keep me or protect me so that I may be free of pain. And you may have heard this before, but let me say it again. The name Jabez means pain. His mom named him Pain. See, I think what Jabez is, I think he's all tied up with his past. I think he's all jacked up with his past. And I think he's got so many limitations from what somebody has spoken into his life. Right from his birth, his mom says, "You're a pain." And then someone else spoke it into your life. And someone else spoke it into your life. And someone else spoke it into your life. And all of a sudden, you're believing that stuff. And say, "God, I need you. I need a 1 Chronicles 4:10. If you're going to the store, please pick me up a 1 Chronicles 4:10 because my past is definitely altering my present. And it has a good chance of altering my future as well." And Jabez, I think he's had enough of his past telling his present how to orchestrate his future. And he said, "I'm going into the very presence of God, and I'm asking God to do something. I'm asking God, and I'm going after what he has prompted my heart to go after, and that's healing from the past. And that's a box that somebody else has put me in, that this world has put me in. I need to get out of this box, enlarge my territory, God. Because there's more, you have more for me than what I'm experiencing right now. And by the way, I am tired of living in this box," I think Jabez is saying. "Free me, God." Let me throw a few more your way. Maybe you need an Acts 7:59 and 60. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine forgiving somebody while they're in the act of doing it? I don't know about you, But I always think about forgiving somebody after they've committed an act against me, or them forgiving me if I've committed an act against them. Can you imagine forgiving them while they're doing it? God, forgive them. They're going off and they're tearing me apart with their mouth. God, forgive them. Forgive them what they're saying. Don't hold that against them. Forgive them, God. Forgive them, God. Can you imagine forgiving act of sin against you? Does that make sense this morning? And sometimes I need to forgive act of sin against me, and you need to forgive act of sin against you. Can you imagine going to the store and saying, God, I'm in the middle of it right now, and I'm in the very presence of God, and I need an Acts 7:59. I need it right now, God, because I don't think this is going to stop. My axe is driving me crazy. My axe is a thorn in my side. God, forgive him. Forgive her. God, forgive him. Forgive her. God, forgive him. Forgive her. Don't hold this against him. God, forgive him. Forgive them. I'm forgiving them right now, God. I'm forgiving them. They're still taking me to court. They're still jacking me up. They're still withholding child support. They're still messing with my life. God, forgive them, and I forgive them. God, forgive them, and I forgive them. Can you imagine the power of that? A couple more here. John 6:33 and 34 says this: for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, and they're talking to Jesus, from now on, give us this bread. Can you imagine that prayer? And saying, God, I'm tired of eating what is not food in this world. I've eaten, and I'm sick. I've eaten from the bowl of my flesh. I've eaten from the bowl of worldliness. I've eaten from the bowl of greed and pride and anger and apathy and resentment, and I am sick. God, I am no longer going to eat of this world and of this flesh. God, give me the bread. Give me the bread of life. I'm coming to the store for a bread run. Add that to your shopping list. Let me just move through some of these. 1 Samuel 30, 7 and 8. And when David said to Abiathar the priest and the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod, or the attire that they were going to seek God. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them. Overtake them and succeed in the rescue. Just so you know, the enemy, this is very, very, very important. The enemy had taken David's family. And when he came home from work, his family was gone. And he said, God, do I need to fight for my family? And he spent time in one of his 2.2 times in the very presence of God and say, God, do I need to fight for my family? And God, how do I fight for my family? Do I need to fight for my family? We need to grab onto this, because at times we need to fight for our families. And God said, go. I'm going to give you success. Another place in 2 Samuel 5:19, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. I heard someone pray this morning, God, give us the ability to free ourselves from addiction and smoking and whatever else. I heard those words come from that mic. Do you ever ask God, God, I'm coming in. I'm one of my 2.2 times this week. I'm coming in. And I'm saying, God, is now the time you want me to free me from those addictions in my life? And he handed it to David. He said, I will hand it to you today. He was shopping for what he needed to get the enemy out of his life. Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. I need you to see that there's ones doing battle for you. I need you to see more than what's behind, just in your physical eyes. I need you to see that there's more here fighting for you than what you think there is, because your hope is waning. And Elisha went on behalf of his servant, stick with me, I only got like one or two more. On behalf of his servant, he said, God, I need Frank to see that there's more around him than what he sees. I need you to see that God's got you. I need you to see. I want your eyes to be open to see what God's doing around your life right this very moment. That you're about ready to throw in the towel. Don't do it. Because God's got a work around you that you cannot see. I'm asking God to show you. This is one of the prayers that really jumped up and grabbed me. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and will not be completed. But I prayed, Nehemiah said, now strengthen my hands. He said, just a minute, Nehemiah says, just a minute, I hear the enemy saying, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. You're too weak, you're too something, you're too messed up, you're too worthless, you're too this, you're too that, you're too something else. You'll never succeed in that. He said, just a minute. He gets in the car and he drives to the store one of his 2.2 times and say, God, you hear what they're saying over there? I need strength, God. I need strength because I need to live your call in my life. I need strength, God. And then he comes back from the store and he continues to build what God has set forth for him to build. Whew. One more for your list. Matthew 14, 28, 29. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come out on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Do you need faith just to move ahead with God? You know, sometimes I preach a message and it flows so well and I'm so excited, and then some of the times I'm like, you ever drive fence post? It's like sometimes you just don't want to quit driving fence posts because they're going down so easy. It's like boom, boom, and it's like wayside, that's a stop, but it's so easy. Then other times you get a hole and you can't even get a hole, and you tink, 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 and you say, what in the world? And you're trying to get this fence post in, and it's like in this far, I think it's good enough. Dad said, no, you got to keep driving. Sometimes when you bring a word of the Lord from this platform, it's like driving this fence post. It's so easy. And other days it's like, where are the rocks? God, where's the rocks? I need to go to the one of my 2.2 times to the store and say, God, I need strength. I need to trust you more. I need to get out of this boat. I need to walk with you. What do you got on your shopping list for this week? You got 2.2 times on the average of going to the store. How about 2 times this week? When you shut off your cell phone, when you shut off the other electronics, and you go into a room by yourself, or you go into some environment by yourself, and just so you know, if it's going to be a tree stand, leave your bow in the truck. But purposely, going to the store and saying, God, I need this. And I will pursue it, God, and I will run after it. I will be the centurion coming before Jesus for my servant's health. I need it, Jesus. I will come, and I will come, and I will come. Will you spend just 2 times this week? Just 2 times in the next 7 days where you purposely drive to the prayer closet. take this list with you and say, God, I'm shopping right now, right today, for a Psalm 51:10. I'm shopping for a Matthew 14:28 and 29. Are you with me? Stand with me today. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for stores. Father, I thank you for you. I thank you for the provision. I thank you for allowing us to come into your very presence with a heart and a list that's motivated to know exactly what we need. God, I got to tell you, there is times when I need every one of these. And maybe I would say I'm here for everything. Maybe that's true, but maybe you want to point out one or two things that say, well, I'm here for this. And Lord, I know that 20% of the time is impulse buying, so perhaps 20% of the time while we're in our closet this week, you're going to do something else in our life. That'd be awesome. But Father, I fear that my life and my week is scheduled pretty tight, and I fear that it's going to be Saturday, and I'm not even going to think about two times into the very presence of God. And I'm going to wonder why I'm hungry and why my servant is still paralyzed. I'm going to wonder why I'm still in the situation I'm in. And maybe that's just the way it is. And maybe it's because the church is not spending their 2.2 times a week in the very presence of God, shopping for what this world needs, for what we need, for what each other needs. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.